Open your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 5. I'm preaching through the gospel according to Luke. And actually, I'm preaching a continuation of last Sunday's message. We studied the passage in verses 1 through 11 about Simon Peter having a huge catch of fish. And then Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And today I want to talk to you about how to fish for men. This is not a message for unmarried females. It's a message about personal evangelism, how to reach people for Christ. And I hope it'll be a challenge to all of us to be involved in fishing for people. Now, when I say the word evangelism, you probably think of Billy Graham, and thank God for Billy Graham because he's reached millions for Christ. But you may be thinking, "I'm no Billy Graham." Well, if you want to compare it to fishing, Billy Graham is like one of those huge fishing trawlers that catches tons of fish. Now, that's fishing. But when a person goes out to the creek with a cane pole and fishes with a cork and a hook, that's fishing also. So I'm not talking about you going out and have to hold a crusade. I'm talking about you going out and one-on-one telling somebody about Jesus. Like we sang earlier in the service, each one reach one. Now, we do a lot of talking about fishing for men, but sometimes we don't do much of it. Perhaps the funniest story I've ever heard about fishing was told by the Mississippi comedian Jerry Clower. He told a story about an old guy in Mississippi that we'll call Bubba, who was catching fish. I mean, he was catching a boatload of fish when nobody else was catching fish. They suspected he was doing something illegal. And so a game warden disguised himself as a regular fisherman and asked Bubba to take him fishing. And sure enough, they got out there in the middle of the lake. Bubba didn't even have a fishing pole. Instead, he reached under his boat seat. He pulled out a stick of dynamite. Lit that stick of dynamite, tossed it in the water, kaboom! Dead fish just floating to the surface, and he just started dipping them up. I mean, that game warden was enraged. He pulled out his badge and said, "Bubba, you are under arrest. You can't fish with dynamite. I'm going to put you under the jail." Old Bubba didn't say a word. He just pulled out another stick of dynamite, lit it, thrust it into the hand of that game warden. While that fuse was sizzling, Bubba said to the game warden, he said, "You going to fish or you going to talk?" There are a lot of different ways to fish, but we want to make sure we don't do more talking about it than we do fishing. I want you to pick up here, please, with verse 8 of chapter 5 of Luke, and then we'll read through verse 11 again. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Verse 9, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon," now this is Simon Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will," instead of catching fish, "you will catch men." It's a word that means to fish for men. "So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him." Now Jesus is the one that used the analogy of fishing and personal evangelism. So I just want to take the idea of fishing, because probably most of you in this room have been fishing, and I want to use it to compare with personal evangelism and tell you how you can be a more effective person in personal evangelism. Number one, to be successful at personal evangelism, you must have a passion for fishing. You must have a passion for fishing. In other words, it's got to be something you want to do. You've got to have a deep desire to see people won to Christ. You know, you don't go fishing unless you really have a passion for fishing. I remember when I was living in Tallahassee, Alabama, right out of seminary, Cindy's father only lived about 20 minutes away. And just about every Saturday morning, he would come by and get me before sunrise. And we'd go out on Lake Martin, and he taught me how to fly fish with a popping bug. And I used to love to go fishing with him. I mean, it was the thing I looked forward to every week. Sometimes we wouldn't catch fish, but that's all right. We went fishing. We had fellowship together. And because I love Cindy's dad, I love spending time with him. And you know, back then I look back and I say, you know what, then I had a passion for fishing and that's why I fished. But through the years I've kind of traded my fishing rods and reels for golf clubs and I don't do much fishing anymore. And people don't fish unless they have a passion for it. And you won't be reaching people for Christ unless you have the same kind of passion for it. I want to tell you, it was the passion of the Lord Jesus. If you remember when we started this series through Luke, I told you that Luke 19:10 was the theme of the book, which says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus said, "The main reason I'm here, My main passion is to seek and to save lost people. The passion of Jesus should be the passion of ours. It was the passion of the Apostle Paul. Look at the scripture there from Romans. Paul writes, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race. Now, unless you miss that, Paul was saying, I have such a burden to see my fellow Jewish brothers saved that I would be willing to be cut off from Christ. Paul is actually saying, I'd be willing to go to hell if it means that these people would be saved. And then he says, brothers, my heart's desire, listen to the passion, and my prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. You know, it's amazing today that churches don't have a passion for reaching people for Christ. You know, sometimes our church, it's easy to become complacent because our church is growing. New people are coming in all the time. God is blessing us. But let me ask you, do we really have a passion to see lost people saved and baptized? I would say if there is one area in our church that needs improvement, it is that we need to increase our burden and our passion to see people saved. There are 47,000 Southern Baptist churches in America. Last year, 8,000 of those churches did not baptize a single person. You see, not only our church, but every church needs to have a passion for seeing lost people saved. Leonard Ravenhill writes about a criminal in England. The criminal's name was Charlie Peace. He was on death row at Armley Jail in Leeds, England. It was back when England still practiced capital punishment, and Charlie Peace was waiting to be executed. On the morning of his execution, there was an Anglican prison chaplain who was indifferently reading a passage of Scripture to Charlie Peace, and the Scripture was about heaven and hell, but he really wasn't even thinking about what he was reading. And just before Charlie Peace went to his execution, this is what he said, and these words have been recorded. Listen to it. Charlie Peace said to the chaplain, Sir, if I believed what you and the Church of England say that you believe about heaven and hell, even if England were covered with broken glass from coast to coast, I would walk over it, if need be, on my hands and knees, and think it a worthwhile living just to save one soul from an eternal hell like that. That's the kind of burden. That's the kind of passion that we must have for seeing lost people saved. It starts with a passion for fishing. Number two, if you're going to be effective at personal evangelism, you must secondly have a plan for fishing. In other words, you got to have some kind of plan, an organized plan. How am I going to go fishing? None of you would just go out to Lake Tyler without a fishing pole, without a boat, and just say, I'm going to go fishing, see if I can get some fish. No, you got to be prepared. You got to have a plan. Now, many of you know that in our church, we have as a member of our church, Jay Yellis. Jay is one of the top professional bass fishermen in America. He's constantly in the top 10. He makes his full-time living fishing these bass tournaments around the nation. And in a sport in which there's been a lot of cheating, Jay Yellis is known as an honest man of integrity, and he's also known as a fine Christian. Several months ago, Jay asked me if I wanted to go fishing with him at Lake Tyler. And I said, wow, that's great to get to go fishing with a pro fisherman. So I'm kind of rusty on my fishing, but I said, yeah, I'll go. He said, well, I'll take care of everything. You just show up. Well, we got there to Lake Tyler. We went out to what was a good-looking fishing spot. He handed me one of his expensive open-face casting reels, and I didn't really know how to use one of those. When I threw it out on the first cast, I mean, it got such a backlash of string tangled up, it looked like a nylon explosion. I said, Jay, I think I've got a problem. He said, no problem. He said, I've never seen a mess I couldn't untangle. So he took that reel and started working on it. About a minute later, he said, I think this one's terminal. And then he gave me a simpler spinning reel that I could operate. Well, we didn't catch a lot of fish that day. They weren't biting, but Jay caught several, but I hadn't gotten a single fish. Toward the end of the day, though, however, I hung on to something that I could tell it was a whopper. And I mean, I was pulling it in. My pole was bent over, and he'd already pulled in his rod and reel to see what it was. And I pulled it up to the boat, and I want you to know it was a huge turtle. Really was. Somehow I'd managed to hook that turtle in the back of its shell, and it wasn't very happy about it. But it was a big turtle, I want you to know. It must have gone 8 pounds or so. And Jay said, you know what? I've never caught a turtle in my life, Pastor. He said, listen, if they ever start a pro circuit for turtle fishermen, you'll be the first one on it. I was pretty embarrassed, but I want you to know I learned a lot about fishing from a pro that day. Now, this week, Jay is over in Mobile, Alabama in a bass tournament. I called him on the phone. I said, Jay, this Sunday, I'm going to talk to the folks about fishing. If you could give me what you think are the three most important tips on how to catch fish, what would they be? Well, I've developed those into the next part of our message today. And the first thing I'd say that you got to do if you're going to catch fish and you're going to catch people, number one, you got to go where the fish are. Now, that's so obvious, but sometimes we forget that. You got to go to where the fish are. You can't catch fish in your bathtub. I heard about a lady that went to her psychiatrist. She said, Doctor, my husband's got a problem. Every day he fishes in our bathtub. Doctor says, well, tell him to stop. His wife said, well, I would, but we really need the fish. You can't catch fish in a bathtub. You can't catch fish in a swimming pool. You got to go to where the fish are. Now, this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you don't reach people for Christ sitting in a church pew. You got to go to where the people are that need Christ. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, the first word he gave was the word G-O. Go to all nations. You can't spell the word God without the word go. You can't spell the word good news without the word go. He said, go to where the people are. And by the way, folks, that's what Jesus did. He did not establish the first Jesus synagogue and say, people come. He went to all the villages. He went to where the people are. And he spent time with them. Now, here's the problem. You know what I've discovered? The longer most of us are Christians, sometimes the fewer non-Christians that we even know. And that's real easy to do. You know why? We love our Christian friendship, don't we? We love our fellowship. We love just spending time with those that are like us who love Jesus. But Jesus said you got to leave your comfort zone and you got to go to people who don't have eternal life that you've got. Now, where are those people? They're at school, teenagers. They're in your offices, those of you that work. They're in your neighborhoods. They may be in your very family. But most of the ones who need to be reached for Christ are not in the walls of this church. You got to go to where the fish are. And then number two, if you really want to be a successful fisherman or successful at personal evangelism, you must understand how fish act. Understand how fish acts. Now, when I asked Jay, what's the most important thing? This is what he said. He said, you got to understand how fish act in different water conditions. He said, sometimes the temperature, the clarity, the current will determine how a fish is going to react. And he says, you got to understand fish. You got to think like a fish. Now, folks, what that means to personal evangelism is that we've got to begin to think, how do people without Christ behave and act and react? And you have to spend time with them to know that. And this challenge for some of you folks is that you need to initiate a relationship with some people that you know that don't know Christ, to build a bridge of relationship so you can walk across that bridge and tell them about Jesus. Now, you don't do that just so you can carve another notch in your gospel gun. You do that because you sincerely care about their eternal destiny. Jesus spent time with sinners. The Bible says that he was with drunkards and gluttons and wine bibbers and prostitutes. But listen, he never became like them. You don't spend time with them to become like them. You spend time with them to win them. Hey, folks, you don't have to jump overboard and swim underwater to understand fish. You don't have to become a fish to understand them, but you can study how fish act and you can study our culture. Listen, we need to be students of our culture. As bad as it is, as immoral and as godless as it is, we got to understand how people in the 21st century are going to act and react. Understand the fish. Here's the third thing. You got to go to where the fish are. Understand how a fish acts. Number three, this seems so obvious, but Jay said it's important. You got to put your hook in the water. You got to put your hook in the water. You know what? There are some of you folks, you got the right equipment. The gospel, the Bible, the truth. And you go out to where the fish are every week. And you understand a little bit about them. But your problem is you never actually put the hook in the water. You never initiate a conversation about spiritual matters. And Jesus did that all the time. I mean, he's sitting at a well one day, and a woman comes up, and he says, can I have some water? And she says, well, start talking about water. And he says, listen, I've got some living water I could give you. He was putting his hook in the water. And there's a lot of ways you can do that, and we ought to be willing to do it. If you were to ask me what my favorite television show of all time is, and you may not care, but my favorite television show of all time is the Andy Griffith Show. I just think it's just great. I still like to watch reruns of it. And one of my favorite episodes is one of the early, early ones. I mean, Opie is a little old boy, and Aunt B comes to visit for the very first time. And, you know, she's kind of checking Opie out, and Opie's kind of checking her out, and Andy takes them fishing. And they're down at the little lake outside of Mayberry, and Andy and Barney are fishing, and Aunt B doesn't know anything about fishing. In fact, when it shows her, she's holding her pole and her line, and her bait is about 3 feet above the water. She's just holding it there, and it's not even in the water, not even wet. Opie points it out to his dad, and you know, Andy always is good about saying the right thing so nobody's embarrassed. And so he says to Opie, he said, oh, Opie, it's not that she doesn't know anything about fishing. In fact, she's such an expert fisherman that she's fishing for those things called flying fish. And Opie said, oh, wow. And he was impressed with that. But that reminds me of a lot of Christians. You got the bait, you got the hook, but you're just kind of standing there, and you're just a little bit away from putting the hook in the water and sharing the gospel with those people. Jay Yellis told me, you got to understand how fish act, but he said you got to present the lure to the fish before they'll ever bite it. I mean, you can have a great bass boat, you can have great equipment, but unless you cast out there and put the lure in front of the fish, you'll never catch them. Here's the fourth thing. You got to have a plan for fishing. Go to where the fish are. Understand how fish acts. Put your hook in the water. And number four, use a variety of strategies and bait. Use a variety of strategies and bait. Now, that's what Jay Yellis told me. He said that was the third thing. Number one, understand how fish act. He said number two, present the lure. But then he said number three, you got to be willing to change your bait if something's not working. Now, this may be amazing to some of you. When Jay goes to fish in a tournament, he has at least 50 different combinations that he can use to catch fish. And he'll usually have 8 rods and reels beside him on the boat. And on the end of each line will already be tied a different kind of bait. So he doesn't have to take time to cut it off and tie another one on. If something's not working, he just puts it down, picks up another one, tries it. If that doesn't work, he puts it down, picks up another one, and tries it. He says you have to keep trying a lot of different methods and strategies before you catch fish. Now, folks, people are the same way. What works to reach one person for Christ won't work to reach somebody else for Christ. And so you got to be willing to change. Now, the Apostle Paul was the best at that because he said, when I'm with the Jews, I act like a Jew so I can win Jews. He said, when I'm with those who are not under the law, I'm not under the law so I can win them. He said, when I'm with someone who's weak, I am weak so I can win them. And then he summarizes it by saying, I have become all things to all people so that I might save some. Different strategies. You know, we can't reach people for Christ in the 21st century the way we did it back in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s. You know, early on in my ministry, I could walk down a street of houses that I didn't know a soul in it, and I could walk up and knock on the door. And I remember times, and some of you do too, when an absolute stranger would welcome you into their house, serve you a glass of lemonade, and sit there and talk politely to you. We live in different days these times, folks. If they answer the door, they're going to feel insulted or feel like that you're intruding on their life. And more people are living behind gated communities in controlled environments. That still works to an extent, but that's not the main method or strategy we ought to be using today. We ought to try new and different things. By the way, could I put in a plug for this? That's why Judgment House is so effective, because it's a different strategy. And every one of our people in our church who are involved in Judgment House 2000, what they're doing is they're fishing. They're fishing. It's a different method, but there are going to be several thousands of people who come through Judgment House over the next few weeks, and many of them are going to be presented the hook, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and many of them are going to be caught for Jesus. And it's a different approach, and we got to use a lot of different approaches. Let's put as many hooks in the water as we can. Now, here's the final thing in your plan for fishing. And this may be obvious also, but it's very important. Number five, you must expect to catch fish. Now, Jay told me that when you go fishing, he said you got to be prepared to catch fish. He said that you must have a dip net. You must make sure your live well is prepared. Nobody would go fishing and forget to take a fishing stringer. I mean, you're going to expect to catch fish and you need to be prepared for it. Could I tell you, folks, that I believe over the next few months, our church is going to experience an influx of new people, and we got to be prepared for it. We really do. Now, these folks aren't going to come to our church just because we're building a brand new building. There's going to be some who are curious and come, but I believe they're going to come because so many more of you are going to get excited about Jesus, and you're going to go out and one-on-one, you're going to reach one and invite your friends to come to Christ. And what I'm saying is we got to be prepared for that. We got to have a place for them to park. We got to have extra beds in the nursery for the young families that are going to come. We got to have Sunday school classes that are open and loving and will teach them about Jesus. We better be prepared. We've got to expect people to be caught for Christ. And so if you got to have a plan for fishing, if you want to be a good bass fisherman, ask Jay Ellis. But if you want to be a good fisherman of men, follow Jesus and notice his plan. And there's one other thing I'll say to you about fishing for men. You got to have a passion for fishing. You got to have a plan for fishing. And then number three, those of you that fish, understand this. You must have patience. Patience for fishing. All right. Now, I just want to take a little fishing survey here among you folks, if you don't mind, if I could just ask you to raise your hand in the affirmative, if this is your case. How many of you have ever gone fishing in your life? Let me see your hand. All right. Most of you. Just about everybody. Thank you. Put your hands down. How many of you have gone fishing and didn't catch fish on that particular day? That is just about everybody. You see, folks, it is a fact, it is a truth that you may go fishing and not catch fish. I could ask this question, how many of you have never been fishing? There wouldn't be too many hands go up, but that if I ask you, how many of you have never been fishing, have ever caught a fish? Would you say, no. You don't catch fish unless you go fishing. The question I would ask is not, how many of you have ever led somebody to Christ? My question is, how many of you have ever gone fishing? How many of you have ever tried? How many of you have even gone out and attempted to share Christ with someone? You got to have patience to do that. But there's a couple of things I'll ask you to remember. Number one, remember that fish don't want to be caught. They don't jump in your boat. You got to go after them. When I was fishing with Jay that day, I was amazed because we came to a certain spot on Lake Tyler and he said, I just know there's a bass there. And so he stopped his trolling motor and we just stayed there for a while. And he cast about 20 times, no bite. He put that rod and reel down, tried something else. He cast another 10 or 12, nothing happened. Then he tried another bait and he cast. He's going in the same spot over and over and over again. And on about the 40th cast, boom, a bass hit it. You see, one reason he's a good fisherman, he's learned to be patient and persistent to try over and over and over again. You know why there are some of you in this room who aren't actively right now sharing your faith with others? It's because you tried. And the person you spoke to resisted you. They resented what you had to say or maybe how you said it. And because it was uncomfortable for you to be in that kind of a situation and conversation, you just don't do it. You see, folks, if you want to be a good fisherman, you don't go fishing once, and if you don't catch anything, you quit. You just keep on going back and trying again. You know, if you are a physician and you discover that one of your patients has cancer, you could say, you know, that's such a negative topic. I don't want to talk to them about that. I'm just going to avoid talking to them about their problem. That would be a criminal thing to do. And I know it's difficult, but I know that doctors, sometimes the most loving thing they can do is go to a patient and say, you've got cancer or you've got a problem. But then they always say, here's the problem. Here's what we're going to do about it. Here's where we're going to fight it. This is how we're going to treat it. Here's the bad news. You got a problem. But the good news is we're going to fight it. We're going to treat it. Now, folks, did you know that fishing for men, sharing Christ with people is exactly the same thing? Sure, it's hard for you to go to somebody and say, listen, a person without Christ, their future doesn't look good. That's the bad news. But the good news is God loves you and has a plan for your life and He can forgive you of your sins. And so you must go to them even though fish don't want to be caught. Remember one other thing as you go out fishing. Number two, remember that you're called to go fishing, but the result is up to God. The result is up to God. Listen, Jesus is not going to ask you when you stand before him at judgment, how many people did you catch? But he probably will ask you, how many times did you try? How many times were you obedient to him? God doesn't judge us on our results. He judges us on our obedience. He just said, you go fishing and you leave the rest up to me. I read a sign on a church down, in fact, in front of Pleasant Hills this week. Did you see what the sign out front says? It says, fishers for men. You catch them, Jesus will clean them. I like that. You just bring them to Jesus and he'll clean them. He'll take care of that. Now, as I finish today, I want to read to you a parable that I have written. I heard a story years ago, and I'm taking some remnants of that story, and I used it to develop this parable. It takes about 4 minutes to read it. And let me just say to you before I read it, it's about Green Acres Baptist Church. And I hope the Lord will use it to lovingly convict you and me about our need to be fishing for Jesus. Once there was a group of people called a fishing society. They gathered every week to talk about the importance of fishing, but they never fished. They said they wanted to fish, so they decided to build a big new aquarium. They pooled their money, no pun intended, they pooled their money and built a sparkling new meeting hall that they named the Aquarium Center. They employed a scholar to teach them from the fishing manual. Each week they would gather in their beautiful building and recite portions of the fishing manual. Their scholar would explain some of the mysteries of the fishing manual, and the meeting would end with the scholar dramatically casting his net into a large tank in the center of the aquarium. The members would rush to the side of the tank, hopeful that a fish would be caught. None were ever caught, of course, because there were no fish in the tank. This led to a great deal of disagreement among the members of the fishing society. Why didn't fish come to their beautiful aquarium center? Some said specialization was the answer, so they built smaller tanks, specially designed for fish of all ages and sizes. They hired experts to work with those fish sizes. Still no fish. Some blamed the problem on the lack of attendance of members at the fishing society meetings. So they conducted week-long fishing crusades. They constantly talked about new and better methods of fishing. They bought some of the finest fishing equipment on the market. But the one thing they didn't do, however, was to fish. They even elected committees to operate the fishing society more efficiently. One group was kept busy keeping the water regulated in the aquarium. Others worked to keep the glass walls polished. Others sorted and arranged the expensive fishing gear. One day, a young man in their group had a radical idea. He said if fish were to be caught, they would have to go out to the oceans and lakes and catch them. Most people were alarmed at such a suggestion. But the young man actually went out and tried fishing. To everyone's amazement, he came back with a couple of fine fish. He was such a success that he was given the title Doctor of Fishology. And he started a school to teach young fishermen, but this consumed so much of his time that he no longer had time to fish himself. Then the fishing society got serious. They sent out a few brave professional fishermen to live only a few blocks from the edge of the water. They called these fishionaries. These foreign fishionaries would send back pictures of themselves standing by the water holding their catch. They would sometimes return to the aquarium center and show slides of them actually catching fish. This would excite the members, but only for a few minutes. Over the years, some members of the fishing society forgot all about fishing. There was plenty to do without worrying about that. Some even suggested they change the name of their group from the fishing society to just the society. After all, they didn't want to offend fish. One day, a bearded stranger appeared in their weekly meeting. This long-haired, sandaled man claimed to be the master fisherman. He extended his hands to appeal to the fishermen to follow him out to where the fish were. Some noticed that there were ugly scars in his palms, probably from fishing. He had the gall to say that he was the one who started the fishing society, but many disagreed because they had worked hard to build their own society. As the stranger turned to leave, his final comment made some of the respectable members of the society so angry that they stopped up their ears. He said, "If you never try to catch fish, you have no right to call yourself a fisherman. If you aren't fishing, then you aren't following me." After their initial shock, the members of the fishing society resumed their busy activity of maintaining their beautiful hall. As they polished away and consulted their fishing manual, they were glad that their beautiful hall had not been built in vain. After all, it made them feel good about themselves. You see, folks, Jesus has called us to be fishers of men, not keepers of the aquarium. And there on your handout, there's a place for you to just begin to write down the names of some people, maybe in your neighborhood, your family, at your work, that as far as you know, they don't know Jesus. And my question to you is, are you willing to follow Jesus and become a fisher of men and women? Let's go fishing. Father, I pray that you'll take this message of challenge today, and I pray that Christians will hear your call, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I pray that it might result in many people being touched with the good news of Jesus. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, our leader, our master fisherman. Amen.